set free.
In the Apostle Paul's letter to his young pastor Timothy, in 1 Timothy 6:11, he says, "But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness." Today you'll be hearing from five pastor teachers at the Refuge Men's Conference titled The Pursuit. So get comfortable, grab some writing gear, and let's dig into this godly pursuit.
Next up, from right here in Refuge, Pastor Jeff Wilson is going to share on the pursuit, of course, but on traveling companion, which is huge. And again, as I mentioned previously about just having traveled recently with my wife, when you are booking flights, you get to pick your traveling companion. If you don't, the airlines will do it for you. Not a good idea. So you take advantage of that, right? And you make sure that you select that. And so otherwise, again, you may not sit with the one you came with. But traveling companions obviously is an important part of the pursuit. And so Pastor Jeff's going to share in that. So if you would please welcome Pastor Jeff Wilson.
All right. Hey, welcome. We are so glad that you guys are here at Refuge with us this morning. And I just want to say thank you to the guys from other churches who came and are investing in Refuge. But how many guys, raise your hand if you're from Refuge, if Refuge is your home church. Great. Awesome. Put your hands down. If you're not from Refuge, if you're just coming this morning and you've got another home church, hey, thank you guys for coming. Yeah. Glad you guys are here. I want to jump right in. I really believe, as Alan was just talking about, I've got the subject of companionship. I could just say this is one of the most important things that men of God need on the journey. If we're going to finish well, we need other men in our lives. And so I want to spend a good chunk of time talking about that this morning. So let's pray. God, I pray you'd convince us of this. I'm not fully convinced that all of us believe this is true, whether it was by example that we thought, man, my dad made it on his own, I can make it on my own, or I've got buddies who don't connect anywhere and I feel like I can be like that. I would just pray this morning that you would convince us otherwise, Lord, that you'd use your text, use your word by the power of your Holy Spirit, and you would just convince us that we need each other. Lord, I pray that you do that this morning again by the power of your Holy Spirit and by the power of your word. Amen. Amen. One of the things that's been so cool as my son is getting older, he's 8 years old, his name is Jack, is that he and I have started this thing where we go to the park across the street and we just play catch together. It's awesome. I love it. It's such a neat time for dad. Not always a neat time for him because I love baseball and I'm always like, no, son, arm up higher. Nope, don't drop it down. You're going to hurt your arm. Son, pay attention. But what's been really cool is as he's gotten older, he's gotten to be able to throw and catch really well. But that's not what I care about, ultimately. What I really care about is that time spent with him. And I thought to myself, what's so special about this game of catch? Why is that so unique? And why do we revere that somewhat in our culture of like, yeah, I play catch with my son, right? Here's why I think it is. Number one, it's just me and him. Mom is at home. The sisters are not there. It's just the two of us together spending time together. It's that time element. And I don't have my phone out because you can't have a glove on one hand and a ball on the other and be on your phone. You can't. It's just the two of us. So I leave my phone at home. And it's just he and I together. I think the other thing, too, that's so unique about catch is that you're face-to-face, right? There were times when he was little, he just couldn't stay face to face very long. And I have to be like, Jack, okay, ready? Jack, right? But now he's so dialed in, right? He's just looking at me the entire time and I'm looking at him. And there's this eye contact that's going on that I think makes so special, unique, is playing catch. I'd say the other thing too that is so cool is it's special time together, right? It's unique. It's different than any part of his day. He goes to school, right? He comes home. He's got to do homework. But this is the time to look forward to spend with dad. And I believe that's built into all of us. We want that special time, that unique time. And quite frankly, that's with Jack. And I'll just tell you what happens to Jack in this moment. Jack just talks. He just talks. It's almost like, dude, stop for just a second. You got to stop talking for just a second. And let's play catch, right? But he just wants to talk and he can hold the ball and just talk. You know why? because something's tapped into who he is. And I believe, again, that's in all of us. Of someone's giving me attention and you have my time and I've looked forward to this moment and now it's me and Dad. And I'll tell you that I know this is not just with Jack, but it's with other kids as well. And I believe with men, but Adam, who's sitting back over here, he and I, back when I used to do youth ministry here for 8 years, we would, before Bible study, go to the back parking lot, and we have a hoop back there and a basketball hoop, and we'd bring some basketballs out, and we'd just play with them, with the high school guys, right? And we'd just shoot baskets, or we'd play some games. We'd get so dirty with the asphalt everywhere and sweaty before Bible study. But the guys didn't care. You know why? Because we were having conversations around basketball and we were connecting deeply with them and asking them questions and how is this going and relating. And I know some of those guys, they hated, some of them hated it. It was like, oh, basketball. But other guys, it was like, this is the time. I did school all day. I went through life. I have bad family at home. But now I'm coming and I'm connecting with these guys and we're playing basketball together. And there's something that's connecting with them because they have our time. They have our attention. And I would just make the argument that each and every one of us has that same desire that my little son Jack has and that those high school boys have, which is I've got to connect. There's got to be something part of me that connects. Now, the reality is we don't all connect around sports. I don't understand how that happens, but we don't all connect around sports, right? We don't play, not all of us like catch or basketball, but what is it for some of you where you connect? Somebody help me. What are some things that you do that connect with other men? Fishing. I knew you were going to say fishing. Food, right? The appreciation of food or just going out. What else?
Cars.
Yeah. Getting into the car together, right? Or appreciating cars. What else?
Motorcycles.
There you go.
Surfing,
absolutely. Yeah, what else?
Golf, bowling.
I mean, guys, what is that?
Literature.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I don't relate to that, but that's okay. That's okay. We connect in lots of different ways. I will just say this. Here's why it's important. Here's why it matters. On the journey we're on to finish well, there's going to be times when we need to call on these relationships. Let me say that again. On the journey that we're on, and maybe some of that happened today when Bill says, hey, before you leave today, connect with somebody about a sin that you're hiding in darkness. And the reality is, if we don't have a friendship or a foundation of a friend, most of us will just leave and be like, I'm not telling anyone, right? This is a secret. Somebody's going to laugh at me. Somebody's going to judge me. But I need people who are going to say, you know what? Come to me. I'm your friend. We played basketball together, right? We've shot together. We've hung out together. You can trust me. You can tell me those things that you're wrestling with, and I won't judge you. In fact, I will help you. I will encourage you. We need those friendships. Amen? Those are things that men need. And now, quite frankly, that's what I think the Bible talks about when it's talking about some of the things that the Bible asks us to do in our church context is really hard, right? Confess your sins to one another. Who am I going to do with that? I mean, I go to church, I sit down, I get up and I leave. Who am I going to confess? What guy am I going to go to on a Sunday morning and say, hey, I need to confess my sin to you? And they're like, who are you? I don't even know who you are. Yeah, I just need to confess this, right? Because some of the stuff that happens in Scripture is based on the idea that you've built relationship with people. But in our church culture today, we're up and down. Go and come back. Don't go and don't come back. Come every other week. It's like, where does the relationship happen where we can put into practice the things that Scripture calls us to? I'll just tell you, there's in our text, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'll reiterate the idea that Alan's been bringing up, so helpful to write some things down that jump off at you. So many messages, so many words being said, but the things that come to you, write them down. Hebrews 10:23, there's a group of people that are wrestling in their faith. The thought maybe is I'll go back to Judaism. I'll go back to my old ways of life. And in Hebrews 10:23, look at what is said to them in Hebrews 10:23. He says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, For he who promised is faithful. The idea is hold fast to your confession of Christ, that he is our hope. He is the only way. But see, what had happened is some people began to waver. I don't know. I don't know if this is the right way. Maybe I'll wrestle with my faith for a while. Maybe I'll go back to the old ways. There was more, I felt like there's more stability, security in Judaism. Maybe I'll go back to that. You don't even know at work, I'm getting all these people coming against me and I've got this new Christianity thing that I'm following. Maybe I'll just go back. It's easier to go back. And he's saying, no. Hold fast to that confession. Men, we are at all times under pressure, right? To go back to the old ways. Things that come and attack our faith. How about this? Love of money, secret sin, pride, overworking, love of sports and leisure, which I love Bill pulled out, laziness, persecution for what you believe, a woman catches your eye, hard times in our marriage, death of someone you love, loss of job, loss of health, all things that at some point on your journey of faith, something's going to come knocking at your door and saying, just go back to what's comfortable, go back to the old way. And Hebrews author is writing and saying, no, hold fast to the hope that you have in Christ. Hold fast to him. And I love then what he says next. And I think it's so applicable for companionship and deeper friendship. Because look what he says. It seems to be what he says next is in verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Observe, behold, examine, consider. But the problem and the difficulty is how often in our church context today are we really considering other men? We have so many things going on in our lives. We wrestle with our own hang-ups and hold-ups. How many times do I come to church and do I think, I'm going to find that guy today and I'm going to ask him what we talked about a week ago. I'm going to consider another man. I'm going to consider to ask him, how's your marriage? How's your life? How's your finances? How are you? How's your walk with the Lord? How often, men, are we saying, oh yeah, I'm considering someone else? Now, according to our text, there's people who are starting to walk away, right, from the hope they have in Christ. And his encouragement is, let's start thinking about other people. Let's think about men, because I know there's other men who are struggling in their faith. And they need someone who's going to say, I'm considering you. I'm asking you how you're doing. I want to encourage you in your walk. And he says here, listen what he says. He says, consider one another so that you can stir up what? Love and good works. That somehow there's a connection between us walking away from our faith and stirring up in another man or in other people love and good works. Love, agape love, self-sacrificial love. Where do we see that amongst our guys, our men, for each other? That I'm willing to sacrifice for another man, that I'm willing to show and demonstrate love towards another man that would encourage him in his faith and in his walk so as not to fall back. And where are we stirring up good works amongst men? I mean, we all need a lifting partner, right? If you're a gym guy, you need other gym guys to say, hey, Jeff, get off the chair. Come work out with me. Hey, are you going tomorrow morning? Hey, are you going tomorrow night? Are we going to still lift? And then when you get to lifting, right, what do you need? What do you call them?
Spotter.
Right? You need a spotter. Someone who's going to help you lift. To make you strong. Stir up love and good works in each other. But what happens when men start checking out? And they don't even care about the guy next to him. Yeah, we have a casual relationship. We know each other's names, maybe. But if we're not in it to win it, if we're not all the way in saying, listen, I'm considering you. I care about you. If we don't have that, we're missing that thing that is so vital to the body of Christ. And I believe this morning in our text, we're saying, listen, we need people who are going to care about other people. Here's what happens, I think, a lot of times. With men, right? And maybe you've been on a hike before. You've brought two people with you on this hike. And one is like a speedster. It's going to go right ahead, way ahead of everybody else. Have you been on that hike before? And you're like, well, I guess we'll see you at the top, right? I brought you to hike with us, but you're way in front. Okay, see you later. And then, but there's also what else? The straggler, right? The person who's way, way, way behind. And every single moment, they want to stop for water or sit in the shade. And you're thinking, we'll never make it to the top. And so oftentimes as men, when there's those differences, we just say, you know what? I'll go at it alone. I don't want to deal with the drama. I don't want to be pulling someone, and I don't want to be sprinting to catch up to someone else. You know what? I'll just go by myself. And it's as soon as those differences come into our lives that we'll just say, you know what? I'll just take the journey on my own. I got enough things to worry about, let alone come to church and deal with speedsters and stragglers. So it's easier for me just to manage myself. And quite frankly, I kind of like to manage myself because nobody's asking me how I'm doing. Right? I don't want to talk a whole lot, right? I don't want to share everything. So I'm just going to go at the Christian journey alone. That way I don't have to worry about them and I don't have to worry about that. I could just focus on myself. But that's dangerous because what the text says is consider one another. Stir one another up. That takes effort. I get it. But God's calling us to do that. We all need that person in our life. In fact, on Wednesday mornings at 6:30, I've got a bunch of guys who stir me up, right? Who I meet with, and we go through scripture together, and we say, have you done your readings this week? Have you done this? And we encourage each other. But what we're really doing is we're giving face-to-face time. We're sharing the word with each other. But sometimes something's going to happen in their lives or in my life where I'm going to need someone who I can say, hey, I need help. And we've created that space and that deeper relationship that we all need to say, hey, will you pray for me over this? Hey, I need help with this. Can you help me? We're creating that space. And so I would just say we need those people who come along and they spot for us and they care for us. Stir up love and good works. Because what had happened here in Hebrews is some people had stopped meeting together. They're like, we're going at it alone. I don't need anyone else. We're gonna maybe go back to our old ways of life, or maybe they become apathetic in their faith. And they thought, you know what, we'll stop meeting together. Let's go back to the old ways. Look what it says here in verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Some had stopped meeting together with the body of Christ, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Tommy said it. Don't stop coming. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop meeting together. Don't stop going to men's group. Don't stop meeting with your guys that you once established a relationship with. You're going to need to bank on that at some point. You're going to need to come back to that and say, hey, guess what? My marriage is falling apart. Guess what? I fell in this area again, and I need that brotherhood. I need that man. If I'm going to finish well on the journey, I need those men who are going to say, listen, that's okay. This is a safe place. How can I help you? Can I call you this next week? Can I call you 2 weeks from now? Can I recommend someone to help you in your marriage? I'm here for you. What do you need? We need those men, but it just doesn't happen overnight. There's an establishing of guys who've stirred each other up. They've considered each other, and they've built that foundation so that, listen, they might exhort one another. The idea behind exhort is to address, to speak to call, to comfort, to instruct, to admonish, to encourage, to strengthen. What guy doesn't need that? What guy does not need someone to say, you're okay? What guy doesn't need to say, hey, let me give you a word of exhortation. Let me show you something in Scripture that I think is going to help you. What guy doesn't need that? It feels like everything is going wrong. What guy doesn't need a group of guys you can come to and they can say, guess what? I've been there. I've walked through that. You're going to be okay. That happens in this context of relationship. We need friends to lovingly show us our sins, right? What guy doesn't need to be able to come to a safe spot and say, share, I feel like I'm wrestling in this. Help me on this. And someone say, hey, listen, I see this in you, right? I see this inside of you that maybe there's a blind spot that you don't see it because we all don't see our own sin. But somebody would say, listen, we've created this safe space where you can share with me something you see in me, and I can share with you something I see in you that needs God's light shine upon it. The guys on our staff in the back, stand up real quick if you're on our staff. Mm-hmm. There's back here. Yeah. I'll just tell you what. You guys, thank you. You got a seat. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll just tell you something that happened probably a year and a half ago. We started that conversation, being open with each other and being able to say, hey, if you see something in me, maybe the way I respond to a circumstance or a situation, come and tell me. Like, I don't keep it a secret. Don't let me just keep doing it. Like, come and share that with me. And we're a year in on this, and a year because a lot of those guys just came a year ago. But the conversation has been great. It's been so refreshing to be like, hey, you can always share with me. And if there's something wrong or something I've stepped out of line, but it's just starting. So I believe God's got more in that for us as a staff. But what if you had that where you could be like, hey, you just need to be honest with me and let me be honest with you, that you would exhort and motivate one another to this kind of relationship. But I'll just tell you, it takes building the relationship. It takes time, and it takes you investing in your people, in your friends, the people around you. Here's why I think we struggle with it. Lack of time and priority. Lack in time and priority. We don't prioritize it. Maybe, again, because we haven't valued it. It's not something that we value, hey, getting together with other guys. It's not something that we've said, this is so important in my life, that we prioritize other things, that we put other things before that. Well, I don't need it right now. I'm going good. Things seem to be good in my relationship with the Lord. I'm good. But when I need someone, where do I go? Who do I go to? I'll just call Pastor Allen on the phone. Right? Because he's got answers to everything, right? I'll just call Pastor Bill on the phone, and that'll fix the problem. No. It's relationship with the men around you who are pouring into you, who give you that place where you can go. So I would just say prioritize it. Put it as a thing. Hey, I need to build relationship with men around me that God has brought into my life. The competition trap. Oh, he is so much holier than I am, right? Which is an absolute lie. He is so much holier. Or he, man, economically, his job, like he is somebody super important, right? I don't even know if I could ever connect with him. You should see what he drives and what I drive, right? The competition that happens between men all the time on a regular basis. We play basketball on Thursday nights. And I kid you not, it feels at times like they feel like this is an NBA basketball game, but it's a church pickup game, right? Oh, it's a league. I mean, we're in a league, so it's not just a pickup game. There's referees, and we keep score, and there's fouls and free throws, so it's not. But the idea is this. We all have to go to work the next morning. Nobody's getting paid for this, and they're arguing with the referees. They're arguing with each other. They're arguing with the other team. It's like, fellas, chill out. But there's this sense of all men that's like, oh, if we're here, we're competing. Like, we're going to compete. If we're coming to men's group, we're, it's like, no. Leave all that at the door. It's not a competition. We are all leveled out by sin and the desire to need each other. So we just leave all that outside when we come in. And we say, God, just use this time. Who can I pour into? I need to level that competition field. The next one I would just say that holds us back from connecting is this macho man kind of idea, right? That somehow we're men and we don't need it, right? John Wayne said this, real men don't need other people. What? Right? Real men don't need other people. And I think there is a certain mentality that maybe some of us grew up with that's the reality. Like we just don't, we'll go at this alone. Like I'm tough, I'm rough, I've got like armor that you can't, I have no weaknesses, right? But the reality is we found over time that there's not a man that exists that has no weaknesses. And the fact that we do need each other. We do need each other. That we do need those deep relationships with each other. And the last one I will just bring up is this excuse that I'm just not good at it, right? I'm not good at relationships. I just don't do those well. And it's like, well, okay, well, you could keep going that direction, or you could say, I need to just put myself in the situation where I can build those relationships that one day I will rely on, that one day may keep me from wavering in my faith and walking away altogether. That maybe now is the time for me to say, listen, I may not be good at this, but I'm going to try it. I'm going to take some steps forward, and I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to wait on the Lord. He is going to instruct my heart. What is the goal that we might shoot for? I just say this. If you have a paper in front of you or a phone, here's what I'd love for you to do. Just write three lines real quick. Three lines real quick. I know men don't like to do this either. So just do it, though, because you want to leave with something. Here's something to leave with, at least to be processing and thinking through. Again, processing, thinking. Don't like to do that either. But it might be worth it. Number one, we need a Paul in our life. Someone who's going to instruct us and teach us and guide us. And you might be in a position where, like, I don't know any Pauls. Men's group. You got to come to men's group. Our men's group is filled with Pauls. I'm encouraged by Pauls all the time, even though they don't know they encourage me. There's some of them that just come to me and say, Jeff, how you doing? How are you doing? Just that on a Sunday morning. How you doing? Right? That I feel just by doing that, they've opened the window for me one day to be like, actually, could I get your prayer on something? That listen, we all need a Paul. So surround yourself with Pauls. This could be a dad, a grandpa. It could be someone who you just admire and look up to, who's a little further on the journey than you are. Could be someone you just think, man, this guy I really admire. He lives on our block. I'm going to build a relationship with this guy because he seems to be a godly man. You need a Paul. Who's instructing you? Who's causing you to move forward? You need a Barnabas, right? An encourager. Someone who is going to lift you up when you are down. Peer level encouragement. We need that. Someone who you can say, hey, things were terrible at work today, and you may not get instruction from that person. You might, but he might just say, hey, well, let's go take in a ball game together. Let's go get coffee. Let's go surfing together. Let's just go. You need that peer level where you feel like, this fills me up. I need to be filled up right now. I feel down. Things are down in my life. I go to my brother in the Lord, who's an encourager, a Barnabas, and he says, come along. Let's just go hang out. Let's just be goofy. Just be yourself. Someone who allows you to do that. Someone who goes along with you. I saw in a book, it said, "In you need someone who's going to come into the foxhole with you. When everything seems like things are going wrong, this person will come along and get into the foxhole with you for the battle. Oftentimes, the guy who's your Paul, he won't get in the foxhole with you. You know why? Because he's got other battles he's fighting, right? But you need that Barnabas who says, I will get in there with you amidst the struggles and the trials, and I will be there alongside with you, right? The last one is the Timothy. The Timothy. Now, this one might be so far removed from where you're at. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, dude, I'm just coming to the Lord, right? I'm just coming to the faith. I don't even have a guy. You're talking about these guys. I don't even have that. So I don't even know what you're talking about as far as a Timothy. And I would just say, begin to look. Begin to see the young people who are in your church, who God has put around you. I think Tommy said it, that 15-year-old, like someone who God would just enlighten you to be like, hey, that guy, go say hi to him, right? That's intimidating, right? But maybe God would just put someone, or maybe he already has a grandson, a son, who you really haven't given a whole lot of conversation to about spiritually, but he would say, hey, listen, this is your Timothy. I want you to invest in him. And it doesn't have to be a whole lot at first. Maybe it's just like some people do for me. Hey, Jeff, good morning. How you doing? How you doing? Maybe you start doing that. You find that Timothy who you can pour into and invest into. And I will just tell you, as much of a blessing it will be for him, it'll be a blessing for you because you'll see things in their life that'll start to change and grow. And I would just encourage you. Well, how do I do this? Quickly. How do I do this? Where do I start? And I would just say this. First of all, seek the Lord. God, I don't have a Paul, I don't have a Barnabas, and I don't have a Timothy. My three lines are empty. Okay, you know, alarm going off, right? You need someone. So God, who is that for me? Because I don't do this real well. I'm not good at connecting, or maybe I'm good at connecting, but I just don't have these people in my life. Okay, God, who is it? Lord, I'm going to seek you and I'm going to put myself out there and I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait and I'm going to say, God, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to do this? The second thing I would just say is coffee is great, right? Coffee is great. Take someone, if you have a Timothy, take him to coffee. If you have a Barnabas, take him to coffee. If you feel like there's a man who says, listen, I'd really like to glean from you. And it doesn't matter how old you are, right? There's some man who you could glean from and say, hey, can I take you to coffee? And let's just start a dialogue and a conversation. I don't want too much of your time. I just want to learn from you a little bit, right? That you would just take him to coffee. Because you know what happens to coffee? Coffee turns into lunch. You know what happens to lunch? Lunch turns into a ball game. And you start to hang out. And now there's an affinity for each other of like, hey, I needed this. I can go here to this place. That you just start with baby steps, but you got to take a chance. You ask in this relationship, what can I give to it? What can I give to it? Now, last, and this is where I'm going to close. Guys can be weird. I'll just tell you, guys can be weird, right? It's just part of it. We're all kind of weird and goofy, and we have different hangups. But you got to get past it. I'll just say it again. You got to get past it. You've got it. When you're considering other people, you've got to get past those little things that are just like, oh, I don't know if I can hang out with that guy, right? Get past it. Right? A brother in Christ who could be your Paul, your Barnabas, your Timothy. I'm going to get past the weird little things that he does or says or the awkward way that he comes in and he's loud or he's too quiet or whatever. Right? I got to get past all that so that I can begin to consider someone else. I can be able to invest in their lives. Why? So that he won't fall back from his faith. So that God would use me in his life so that when that faith begins to waver, I've built relationship that will keep him strong and keep me strong as well. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I believe wholeheartedly that one of the areas that you would change in your church, your body here on this earth right now, currently, is that we would be more invested in people's lives. Take more time for people. Have more face-to-face conversation. Play more catch with people. And Lord, I pray that that would be something that you have just spoken over us here this afternoon. That you would speak that into us. That you brought names and faces and people when we leave here, we will text them, we will call them and say, hey, will you get coffee with me? Lord, begin that process in your church, in this place, and with this group of men. Draw us deeper into relationship with you and with others. Amen.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free.
You've just heard a recording from Refuge Huntington Beach. For more information about our service times, ministries, and events, please access us on refugefamily.com, our mobile app, Refuge HB, Facebook, Twitter, or call the church office at 714-891-9495. Grace and peace in Jesus as you seek him today.